Guys, when was the last time you upgraded your gaming PC? How long ago was it? What kind of crappy case, crummy motherboard, lousy GPU are you running right now? How many times in the week are you going, damn it, this game is too new to run. I've got to knock all the settings down. Anti-aliasing alone might destroy my soul. Well, don't do that anymore. Go bid out a brand new awesome rig with our friends at DoghouseSystems.com and play video games the way they were meant to be played. Fast, carefree, beautifully, with incredible support to back it up. That's right, DoghouseSystems.com is the place. And if you use our code FROGPANTS at checkout, you can do even better. You get a default 1 terabyte hard drive, but in addition to that, when you use that code, a 120 gigabyte SSD solid state drive for free. A free 120 gig solid state drive by using the code FROGPANTS at checkout at DoghouseSystems.com. Hi, this is The Boop Show, some gaming news you can use for March 2nd, 2015. It turns out I'm Scott Johnson. Probably shouldn't do that with my voice all janky. Cold's still here, man. Still viral. I'm not nearly as low-voiced as I was last episode, but... hey, I'm here. I'm doing it. I'm making it happen. Welcome to The Boop Show. It's so good to have you back. It's Monday. Some things have happened, have transpired since we last spoke, including this. Decided to download, because it's only $4.99. I thought, well, that's a price you can't beat. Downloaded and played through the first episode of Life is Strange, the Square Enix joint. It's a weird, strange thing where there's this girl. Are you in college? I guess you are, right? It feels like everyone's in high school, but you're in a dorm, and it's co-ed-ish, I think. I don't know. It's hard for me to say, because sometimes the people in this... well, whatever. It's a Square project, so you can bet there's some weird translation and some funky stuff going on. I don't think it's Japanese so much as it is, like, French or something, but the translations and the dialogue are real goofy, but I really enjoyed that game, that first... episode, and episode two's coming. Don't know when. I got delayed, I think. But it's beautiful, really pretty game. Dialogue is insane and dumb. I don't think the dialogue's good at all, but the overall story that it supports, I'm really behind. The kind of adventure game thing is happening, you know? Gather stuff, combine things, solve puzzles, talk to the right people, all that. But what makes the game unique is the protagonist in the game, this girl named Max, has the ability to turn time back and change her decisions. So if you don't like how something turned out because you told the principal that so-and-so brought a gun to the bathroom, then you can rewind time and tell him the other way and see what his reaction is. Either way, there are consequences, but you can kind of make a choice, a more active choice based on turning back time. This also works for calamitous sort of events. So if something real bad happens, tree falls on somebody. That didn't actually happen, but... anyway, if a tree fell on somebody, you could back time up and the tree would go back to its standing position. And then when it fell, you could make it a different decision to warn the person or get out of the way or whatever. And then the tree would fall and not harm anyone. Pretty cool stuff, actually. While the story's full of people saying the word hella, and I'm pretty sure the word bay will show up at some point in these episodes... some of that stuff comes off as not real or like a bunch of adults trying to write for what it's like to be an early 20s college student and the challenges they face socially or whatever. I mean, it's not, that stuff is not good, but it's also kind of fun to have it be bad. Like, I'm enjoying the cheese and the game as a whole. Kind of a big surprise for me. Didn't expect to like it. Only real hangup is a technical one. The lip syncing on the people is broken. It doesn't work. That is to say, there is none. So people are literally kind of just flapping their jaws, and there's no words that match. I don't know why they did that. I don't think it was a language thing, because the movement their lips are making are non, kind of don't work for any language. They're kind of bah, 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 like that. That's very weird, but it's worth your time. I think that's worth playing, and I think it's on all the platforms. I got it on Steam for $4.99. I can't speak to its price on the other big consoles there, but I assume similar. And I'm rather anxious to keep playing it. Looks beautiful. I already said that, but my new video card runs it real well, and it's worth checking out. Okay, give it a shot. Also cracked open Apotheon, which is this like 2D stylized Greek painting looking game, but you move around in it. Kind of 2D style, platformer style, but it's like Diablo. In that you kill dudes and get their loot and they drop gold and you pick that up and you break jars and furniture and that poops out loot and gold and you switch between your weapon types and fight a bunch of dudes and have a bunch of quests to do and it's all done on this 2D, almost like hieroglyphic kind of plane, as if you're watching a painting or an ancient engraving come to life. And it's cool. I'm not nearly deep enough to tell you one way or the other if the whole thing was a satisfying experience, but so far I'm kind of impressed. And that was free on PlayStation 4 in February, so if you didn't get it, you're too late, because today's the 2nd of March, and it is no longer free, I assume, for PlayStation Plus people. But, yeah, that's a cool indie game. I remember hearing about ages ago and seeing screenshots and going, oh, that's interesting, and then forgot all about it. And then suddenly it's here, and it's kind of rad. So check it out. I think you'd like it. Digging deep into the news this morning. It is morning when I'm doing this. Barely. Oh, no, it's not. It's 2 in the afternoon. My day flies like... I gotta figure that out. Too much time passes for me. Anyway, you'll soon be able to play World of Warcraft without spending a dime. What? You say? That game has forever been subscription-based, Scott. How can this be true that you're speaking? And we'll talk about this in depth on the instance this week. There's no doubt about that. But... you'll soon be able to play World of Warcraft literally without spending any dime. This is provided you have a bunch of extra gold, though. And the trade is kind of two ways. So if you got a bunch of extra gold, you can buy game time. If you have no gold and want to buy gold, you can buy gold. Or at least that's kind of the thinking. Anyway, Blizzard announced it today. It's called a WoW token. It's a new item. It'll soon be introduced into the game. And you buy it with real money. They haven't announced a price. Okay, so you'd buy this separately. Then that item can be sold in the auction house. So in other words, this lets you buy in-game gold without resorting to doing something through some sketchy third-party site with your credit card. So in the two swoops here, one swoop, they've solved two problems. They've killed two birds with one stone, potentially. And that is, how do we let players buy gold in a legal, safe way after 10 years of not allowing it? And also, how do we give players who don't want to pay a monthly subscription a way to do that? And it's basically like the Eve-esque plan thing, whatever it is Eve is doing. I don't know enough about that to say. But anybody with in-game gold can purchase a token. That can be redeemed for 30 days of game time per token. So this doesn't exactly make WoW free to play, but it's an interesting step in that direction. And more news will come and price and all that. So we still don't know some of that stuff, but that's coming. So stay tuned. More on the way.
Hey, Scott, this is Ron, the Infinite Loop from New Orleans. Star Wars The Old Republic is really kicking it up a notch. Their free-to-play model is magnificent. Yeah, there's a couple of things that you have to buy, whatever, just to make your experience equal to someone paying a subscription, but it all comes out in the wash. Anyway, love the show. Good work.
All right, cool. I haven't touched Tor. Part of it was because when I went to go log back in, it couldn't find my credentials. There was some goofiness with my account, and I didn't want to bother with it. And I don't know where I was. What were my characters doing? What do they have? How much progression did I have? I don't know any of that. So it's almost like if I'm going to play Tor again, I'd have to start over to feel good about it. I feel this way about MMOs generally. If I've been away for a long time, like what was I? Oh, Guild Wars 2, I popped back in the other day. Just to see. I liked that game when it came out. And I want to see some of these changes, looking forward to their expansion, all that stuff. So I'm trying to get up to speed, and I see my characters. I'm like, I don't know who you are, what you do. I don't remember anything about what you're doing. So I went and started a new guy because that at least felt like, you know, there's a starting point and a finishing point, and I knew where what the progression was. You know, I do this with any game where there's progression and I've stopped for whatever reason, and I go back. I'm like, ugh, I should just start a new game of Skyrim, or I should just start a new Diablo character. Anyway, there it is, though. Exciting, right? Tor, back, ready to go. With a vengeance. The Unreal Engine 4 is now free for everyone, effective immediately, according to Epic Games. Unreal Engine 4, the most widely used development tool set on the market. More games you play are made in Unreal, and even ones you don't think might be. They're not all shooters. More games use that as their backbone than anywhere, and they're going to give it all for free. Tim Sweeney, the Epic Games founder, Tim Sweeney, you know the guy. The name used to be a lot more prominent than it is these days. That's back when they were making games more than they were an engine. But he has a blog post. He titled it, "If You Love Something, Set It Free." And the subscription, currently subscription-based Unreal program, which will now be free, allows people to get the game for absolutely free. And those who are already subscribing get a $30 credit good for the Unreal Engine Marketplace, which includes a bunch of stuff you can buy. At any rate, you can now get it for free. Build whatever you want. If these projects are released commercially, then creators pay a 5% royalty on gross revenue. That follows the first three grand of sales. So if you sell more than $3,000 worth of revenue for your game you made, they get 5% of the royalty on gross revenue, which is totally reasonable. So Epic only succeeds when you succeed. That's a big deal. That's kind of a bunch of faith, man. This the engine that used to cost $1 million to license back in the day, then went to subscription, now going to this model. This is them saying, look, we think you'll do really great, innovative things. We believe that so much that you won't have to pay a dime until it's successful. I don't have a problem with this model. I think it's a good thing, and I hope people make some rad stuff. Mortal Kombat 10, or X, I guess, coming to mobile devices with interoperability of some sort. According to NetherRealm, this was this morning, they announced a mobile version of the upcoming Mortal Kombat game, Mortal Kombat X. It'll be free-to-play thing. It'll play on most mobile devices, including iOS and some Android, I guess. I don't know about Windows. It is what they're describing as a fighting game slash card battler, sort of a hybrid. And according to them, quote, delivers the next evolution in mobile fighting games, unquote. Well, that's as PR as you get, isn't it? Comes out in April. If you're excited, watch for it. Same day as the core game, by the way, the April 14th when that comes out on consoles and PC. And yeah, they got some cross-play connectivity features that they say will be unique, and they'll get cool rewards. One would assume maybe new brutalities, fatalities, or babalities might unlock that way or something. This, you know, whatever. It's hardly an announcement. Everybody's doing this, right? Everyone's gotten a companion app now, and they vary from terrible to okay. We'll see how they do with it. Valve and HTC, which I used to think was the active ingredient in marijuana. I was wrong. It's kind of mixed up letters there. HTC... known mostly for their phones, have revealed a something called the Vive VR headset. V-I-V-E. This Taiwanese smartphone manufacturer, HTC, will make the device. Valve is kind of behind the tech and whatever they've been doing behind closed doors, which we'll learn a lot more about this week at GDC. I'm pretty excited about this week because there'll be lots to talk about on Thursday. Anyway, currently has a 1200 by 1800 pixel resolution in front of each eye. M has refresh rates of 90 frames per second. Says it eliminates the jitter common with other VR headsets. Although, I'm pretty sure Oculus has eliminated that problem as well. Anyway. They're working on it. They've got some base station thing that like tells where you are and tracks your distance from the base station, so you can do a lot more positional tracking stuff. You'll hold an ergonomic VR game controller, they're calling it, in each hand, and then you can interact with the virtual space. The position of each controller will be tracked. Sorry, I just sniffed into the microphone. This is kind of how Sony's Morpheus deal uses move controllers to track movement, which makes me mad. I got rid of my move controllers. Now I wish I'd have kept them because then they would have just been ready for it. Anyway. Heating up, dude. The VR space, who had zero competition, is suddenly full of players. And I'll tell you what, that is a really good thing. The more the merrier. That means innovation is coming. We shall all benefit from their hard work. Star Trek Online honors Leonard Nimoy. You know Leonard Nimoy? Well, he just passed away, and I'm super sad about it. I'm sure you are. Star Trek Online has decided to honor him in the game. They have a memorial. Here is a quote. I want to once again express my heartfelt condolences to the friends, family, and fans of Leonard Nimoy. This is Cryptic Studios executive producer Stephen Ricosa. This is in their official forums. Went on to say, everyone at Cryptic Studios was saddened to hear of his passing. We want to make sure we never forget the cultural impact of the man or the character he played. To that end, the Star Trek Online team will implement a standing in-game memorial to Spock and Leonard Nimoy this Thursday, March 5th, with our regularly scheduled weekly maintenance. Unquote. That's pretty awesome. And by the way, that game's all right. I got in there not long ago. I mean, if I wasn't playing anything else MMO-wise, I'd probably devote some time to that because it's pretty cool. And the fact that it's still kicking and doing well with its model and is pretty much playable all the way without spending a dime if you really don't want to, I don't know. It seems like a strong play, and I'm glad that they're doing what they're doing with this. So that's a good thing. Anyway, does suck he died, though. Ugh. 83, I know, long life, but still. Sony has accidentally done a dumb thing. I swear. Does Sony, they use computers, right? Because, you know, they get hacked every 10 minutes. They just seem like they're always fighting this problem. Sony Pictures gets hacked. Sony or PSN gets hacked and was down for, what, like 3 months back in 2011? And recent issues as well. And they were down over Christmas. And, you know, DDoS attacks seem to bring them to their knees. And they take a longer time to get back on their feet. Well, now this. They've accidentally erased the list of the anniversary PS4 winners. This is Sony in Japan. They've accidentally erased all 123 winners of its PlayStation 4 Anniversary Edition contest, meaning it will need to restart the competition. They literally are saying to the winners, sorry, we have to do this over again. They use the term deepest apologies, and then all sat and they all laid on a knife and killed themselves, I guess. Isn't that what they do over there? They say all the data of regarding the winning contestants was completely irretrievable. Our deepest apologies for the trouble we have caused to those who entered the previous campaign. Let's see. Between December and January is when they did this thing. So if you bought a PS3 or PS4 or PS Vita or PlayStation TV, you're all eligible to win these things. They picked 123 of the codes of the winners, and they were supposed to get these. There are only 12,300 that exist. Period. So it's kind of a big deal if you got one of these. But man, they're saying their servers and their details of those people have not been compromised. They have not explained what happened. Did someone just keep it in a little flat text file and delete it and then wipe a drive? Like, what are you doing over there? That seriously blows my mind. All right. People buy PS4 for graphics. People buy an Xbox One for brand. And people buy a Wii U for fun. This is according to a new study. A Nielsen study, because they're trying to stay relevant, all right? Leave Nielsen alone. Let them or him. I like to refer to Nielsen as a him, like just a dude who's checking your TV ratings. Anyway, staying relevant with what the kids are up to here. This study shows the PS4 has been very successful in attracting gamers who previously owned a 360 or Wii. Well, I think we all knew that. I mean, where else are they getting? They're not like new players, not necessarily. Anyway, here are the driving factors with each brand or each thing this year, or this last year, I guess. PlayStation 4. These are the five things people listed as reasons that they wanted to get this machine. 1, better resolution. 2, Blu-ray player. That's interesting, because the Blu-ray player is also on an Xbox One. I think they have this memory of the previous generation, where Microsoft did not have high-def options outside of HDTV add-ons, or HD, what was it? HD DVD, a standard that no longer exists. So they had that for a minute, a hot minute, and no one liked it. So I think they just associated, oh, well, if it's a Blu-ray player, then Sony's going to have it, and that's what all these discs are now at the store, so I better buy the one with a Blu-ray player, not knowing because Microsoft didn't brand it very well or something, that the Xbox One includes a Blu-ray player. But anyway, that was listed as number two. So number one, better resolution. Number two, Blu-ray player. Third most reason for PlayStation 4, game library. Four, faster processing power. And five, what family wants. It's a vague thing. The Xbox One, here are their reasons. Number one, brand. So people are very brand focused with Microsoft's Xbox brand. That makes sense. You had one before. It's a common thing to say, dude, come over and play Xbox. It's like play Nintendo. It's kind of like that. They kind of do have that sewn up. Innovative features, it says, number two. Three, faster processing power. So they, once again, nobody knows who's got the faster machine because neither company is very good at getting the word out. Fourth, exclusive games and content. And five, fun factor. Nintendo Wii U, these are their reasons they chose it. Fun factor, number one. So flipped around there. Number two, better for kids. Three, price/value. Four, backwards compatibility. And five, exclusive games/content. I would have put five up higher. I would have put price value at the bottom and backwards compatibility next to the bottom because it's not as backwards compatible as people think. Not quite what you think. Anyway, it's an interesting study. It's all over the place. Oh, this is interesting. Lifetime console ownership among U.S. households. Oh, wow. Yeah, I don't know what to make of those numbers. Anyway, I won't even try because I don't want to mess them up. Worth checking out. You can find that on Google. Just Google it. Why people buy consoles. It's all over the place. And it's kind of interesting. And I'm always surprised by this kind of stuff. Brand. That's a weird reason to buy. Well, I don't know. You trust a brand. I guess that's why you buy it. Anyway, good luck, anyone else who's checking on this. Okay. It's time for emails and calls. Did you know that you can send your own call in? Or, you know, not send it in. You can call it. 801-471-0462. Did you know that? Did you know you could also send attachments or regular emails to boopshow@gmail.com? Please keep it up. Again, that number is 801-471-0462 or boopshow@gmail.com. Let's start with phone calls. We got one here about more comp in your games. I don't remember what that means. I wrote that, and now I don't remember, so here it is.
Hey, Scott, this is Mark from Ohio. I was thinking about Blizzard always has such a great way of just hyping up the competitive scene with the seasons per month and having rankings like in WoW and everything else, and I assume StarCraft does the same thing. And I don't understand why other games or other game developers don't harness that power and just kind of make their games feel fresh. I know Gears of War kind of did something like that, but even maybe like a weekend, like a big head mode or something on a shooting game or more laddering within, you know, the game itself instead of having to do these external sites like MLG. All right, well, see you later, mother freaking...
Wow, that strong ending there, buddy. Yeah, now I remember. So... Yeah, Blizzard, I feel like they've added an addendum to their mission statement where provide as much competitiveness as possible no matter what the game is. I think they really value that right now, more than they ever have before. Even Diablo, which is maybe the least of the competitiveness games they have, has the ladder and season system in it, which I know is not that different than ladders were in Diablo 2, but still there's a renewed focus on leaderboards and things like that. You know, certainly Heroes of the Storm is all about being competitive, and StarCraft also, especially if you look at it as a mostly multiplayer experience. But I don't think that they're weird or unusual. I think a lot of games are doing this, and I think you're going to see more and more. So I don't think it's exclusive to them, nor do I think there's a lack of it in other games. I just think you're not noticing them because there are plenty out there that are like that. So with time, they'll all do it.
Mike, I... listen to that interview you had, and man, I couldn't agree more with what he may have said about The Order. I haven't played it, but I've listened to reviews about games like The Evil Within and Alien, and they were kind of polar. Most of them were a little bit down on it, depending on what you read, but man, Alien was really good, I thought. I had a wonderful time in that universe, and now I'm starting The Evil Within, and it's kind of fulfilling an itch I had there with the Resident Evil series. So, I mean, total props to somebody coming on there and kind of going against what the normal reviews are saying about a game. So appreciate that.
If you have a, well, that's weird. If you have a creative itch or a Resident Evil itch, you should go get that looked at. You know what I'm saying? That could turn into something more. Yeah. So, I agree. I mean, I feel like we need reviews, and I think they do give us a good generalization. I mean, I actually like Metacritic. I know a lot of people hate it, but I like averages. I think averages usually come out about right. Not always, but often. Rotten Tomatoes averages are usually right around where I'll see a movie without looking at Rotten Tomatoes. I'll come back and see it and go, yeah, that's about right. That's about where I was. So for whatever reason, those things work for me. But I'm also a big proponent of figure stuff out for yourself. And, you know, in the case of the two games you mentioned, they have very rabid fan bases and reviewers were less than kind. And I have a feeling The Order may be a similar kind of experience for a lot of people. It's not, you're not the first person who's emailed or called in with support about this. And a lot of people agree with Jeff Cannata, who was here last week, his assessment of that game. So, you know, take it for what it's worth. You know, nobody in 2000 thought that Apple could succeed with a music player, a portable music player. And those people are idiots because they cleaned up. So don't always assume that the reviewers have any kind of tap on what's good or what isn't good. I think a lot of times they're just dead wrong. But the averages usually work out. At least for me. I can't speak for everybody. That's just with me.
First of all, I want to thank you for the podcast. As I say this right now, I just literally a couple of minutes ago found out that Leonard Nimoy passed away, and listening to the Boop Show has cheered me up. Anyway, question for the show. If you could pick one classic game from the NES era to get a sequel made today, let's say of the quality that, let's say, Shovel Knight was, which would that be? Thanks.
Okay, this is going to be a weird answer. And I know there's a lot of potential answers out there as to what NES game I would want to modernize. Not modernize, you know, in a big production-y kind of way, but I mean modernize in kind of a, well, like you said, Shovel Knight-ish kind of throwback to NES, but you know, a new cool thing to do. I am an eternal fan of arcade hockey. You know, even if, you, like, I don't even look at, like, NHL 94, the greatest hockey game ever made. I don't even look at that as a true sim of a hockey game. I look at that as a arcadey hockey game because that's kind of what they were up till lately. And I miss that. I miss a good arcade hockey game. I don't care if they're real teams. Call them the freaking New Jersey Buttholes versus the New York Fireflies, whatever. Buttholes. It's a terrible name for a hockey team. But that's what I want. I want that kind of experience, and nobody gives me that anymore. And Nintendo made a game called NHL Hockey. Or no, it was just called... What was it called? Was it just called hockey? Now my brain is not working. It wasn't NHL hockey. Well, anyway. And the way they did it was real simple. You had a fat dude, a middle dude, and a skinny dude. Skinny dude, I mean, think of it like Team Fortress 2. Skinny dude was really fast. He could get in there real quick with quick goals and things like that. Get out of the way fast, that kind of thing. Very agile, but very weak. If you hit him, he'd go flying. Middle guy's kind of best of both worlds, and then the fat guy was really slow and lumbering, but really strong and could like body check the crap out of you if you could get him where you wanted to be. So that kind of rock, paper, scissors thing really worked for me, and I was in love with that game. And I would love it if Nintendo said, we're making a new one of those, there'll be little polygon guys, and here's your new hockey game. That's what I want. I'm sure there are many other answers. I'd love to hear yours. There's bound to be a ton of them, so send them in to the show, and I'll read them here, boopshow@gmail.com, or you can call it in. One final email, this from Joe, who says, after hearing you talk about Diablo for so long, I finally decided to give it a shot, and now, not only am I completely hooked, but I am. So is my 10-year-old daughter. We've been playing as Barbarian and Wizard, both female, and are already talking about the characters in the next run-through. Thanks for the advice, Joe. All right, it gave me an opportunity, Joe, to spread the love once again about why I still say Diablo is my go-to game all the time. It is the game I want to play if I've got a few minutes. It's a game I want to play if I have a few hours. It is kind of the game I want to play all the time, and I'm really enjoying Season 2. I'm building a Barbarian. I'm having a ball in there, and I love Diablo. So welcome to the club, and hopefully, like me, it will be a long, fruitful relationship filled with nothing but love and gravy. When's the last time you had good gravy? I mean, really good gravy. Man, how does that sound right now? I'll tell you how that sounds. It sounds like it's time for me to go eat. I'm going to do that in a minute. But before I do, frogpants.com/boop is our website. You can go subscribe and hang out. There's things there. Links to all the other Frog Pants stuff right there. Frogpants.com/boop, Stitcher, iTunes, the RSS feed, all of it. So if you're hearing for this for the first time, you're like, how do I subscribe on my cool iPhone app or my Android app? Well, there's where you can go do it. Boopshow@gmail.com. Again, the number is 801-471-0462. On Twitter, @boopshow. Catch this show as a streaming repeat at alphageekradio.com. Support us at frogpants.com/store. You can buy some cool stuff over there. Or at the Patreon, patreon.com/frogpants. And reminder that Nerdtacular is coming up. Nerdtacular.com for details. All right, I'm going to play a song, okay? This was recommended by Ty Worsham, sent this in via email. He recommended a version of the Street Fighter II Guiles theme remix. He also had this on OC Remix. I am taking his word out at point, or what's the word? Sight unseen or ear unheard or something. I haven't heard it. I don't know if this is any good. I'm going to assume it is because I trust my listeners, and Ty says it's good, so I believe him. So I'm going to play it for you now. We'll be back on Thursday with a whole new show. Hopefully a bunch of GDC stuff, some early pack stuff. Should be a good week for what's happening in the world of video games. Until then, go play something. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Round one. Fight.
Win!